The rescue operation continues in Japan as crews search for people stranded by the earthquake and tsunami. And as attention remains focused on the recovery efforts, the country, the world's third largest economy, is just beginning to tally the economic damage. In an attempt to head off another disaster, this time economic, Japan's central bank injected more than $180 billion into the economy to prevent a panic. The Nikkei fell more than 6%, but was otherwise stable. This combination of physical damage and lack of electricity led Japanese automakers to halt production at many factories. The question for companies, as well as consumers here in the U.S., is how long will it take for the plants to start up again before auto dealers in the U.S. run out of particular vehicles like the hybrid Prius? The damage in Japan pushed U.S. markets down today, but at the end of trading, they regained most of these losses. The Dow lost 51 points to close at 11,993. The NASDAQ fell 15 points, finishing up at 2,701. With the news from Japan leading the conversation about the economy, we are joined by WNYC's business and economics editor, Charlie Herman, and as she did last Monday, the Wall Street Journal's Kelly Evans, author of the daily column Ahead of the Tape. Welcome back, Kelly. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Understandably, a lot of attention is focused on Japan and in particular the damaged nuclear reactors. How much will this natural disaster affect the global economy? Kelly, I'll start with you.
Sure. I think that in terms of immediate impact, it's not going to be huge. It's certainly a tragedy and a geopolitical issue much more than one that immediately has to do with growth. I think if you look and see where and how the market's reacting, it's basically trying to sniff out those industries that are most sensitive to Japanese production. The automakers, for example, those sensitive to Japanese consumption, so some of the luxury companies. But for the most part, it takes pretty big events, even something this large, to really see an impact. The global economy is just so big, and we may see fallout, but more drawn out and not quite as immediate as you would expect.
And I think what you'll see here in the U.S., what you'll see in Japan specifically is maybe a couple of quarters where clearly the economy will be damaged, but there'll also be a lot of money spent to try and rebuild the country. It could be very similar to what we saw here in the U.S. after Katrina. We took a big economic hit, but then there was actually a fair amount of growth that does add to debt, but there could be some growth later down the road for that country.
So if the situation with the reactor does not get any worse, what's driving the agenda this week, Charlie?
I'd say it's inflation. There are several reports we're getting this week, wholesale inflation prices, consumer inflation prices. The Federal Reserve is meeting, and they're going to be talking about inflation. This is really this big issue that's out there right now of how bad is inflation, because the government and economists are saying inflation is largely stable. They're looking at this number where you don't look at things like gasoline and food prices, but that's where most consumers, most Americans, see prices, and they're seeing those prices rise. So there's really this dichotomy. You saw this last week where the Federal Reserve president in New York spoke to a bunch of people in Queens, and when he said inflation's in check, he was reportedly asked, have you been shopping recently? Have you gone to the grocery store?
Kelly, what will you be looking at this week?
I think Charlie's right. Same thing. People, I think, are growing increasingly uncomfortable with the rates of inflation that they see and the kinds of prices that they're paying, and we're seeing that impact consumer psyche, and we're seeing it sort of starting to change behavior, potentially changing the way people think and make decisions. What's interesting, though, is that consumer prices aren't rising as quickly as prices are for producers. That's one thing that we'll see, for example, this week. We get producer price data Wednesday, consumer price data Thursday. So companies still aren't able to fully pass along all of the increases that they're seeing, which speaks to the difficult conditions still at the consumer level. So we could see potentially more pressure, but it will depend on consumers being able to pay for it, to have wage gains, to have employment opportunities. And that's one reason why the Federal Reserve doesn't see a real inflationary problem or a breakout more broadly, because they just don't think there's scope for it.
And while we debate inflation, Congress is trying to hammer out a spending bill for the current fiscal year. What's the latest, Charlie?
It looks like they may come up with another bill to fund the government for a few more weeks. But again, this is the budget that started October 1st. They still haven't got something passed. And as soon as they finish this, they have to get to the 2012 budget.
Kelly, what will you be looking at with regard to the budget debate?
I just think it's amazing that giving everything going on this week, we haven't even really talked about that current funding mechanism that's up on Friday. So there's plenty of pressure here. This isn't just a sort of big issue that people are holed up arguing about over dinner. You know, it's something that we're going to see debated day after day. There's going to be continued talk about how much to cut and whether and when. The kind of support, the fiscal support, monetary support that we've had for the economy over the last couple of years is going away, and it'll be an interesting test of the resilience of this recovery to see what happens in the aftermath.
Interesting indeed. The Wall Street Journal's Kelly Evans, author of the Daily Column Ahead of the Tape, along with WNYC's business and economics editor Charlie Herman. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get the 411 as a podcast. Sign up. Go to WNYC.org. This is WNYC.